It's a bird. It's a plane. Nope. It's your girl back again with another episode. Let's do it. Welcome to Metamorph Her Sis, the soul-centered space for women navigating the in-between of who they've been and who they're becoming. I'm Nordia Shireen, a therapist, a believer, and your conversation partner in the process. So, today we are going to talk about the holy hustle. In today's episode. And let's be real, sometimes we're out here trying to do all the things and forgetting to let God be God in our hustle. So lately I've been thinking about what it really means to hustle holy. I don't think he has a problem with ambition, but I think that God wants to make sure that our ambition is not our idol. And recently I have to keep asking myself the question, like, am I grinding for my glory, or am I going hard for God's glory? Because if I'm being honest with you, your girl is working two jobs. Now, if you got me on TikTok, you know this already. Any social media, actually, I am shouting it to the rooftops, like, what's the name, Father, and Everybody Hate Chris, like the wife. She'd be like, my man got two jobs. I don't gotta deal with this. That's how I feel about everything now, and I feel her on that. I got two jobs. I don't gotta deal with this. But, like, I got a second job because, like, I really wanted to focus on eliminating debt from my life and focus on paying bills and focus on getting all the things that I need to get done. And, you know, I realized that, like, even in dating and relationships, like, I'm asking all these questions, I'm doing all these interrogations about, where is someone at financially? Where is someone at in their life? Are they ready to do all these things that we're talking about? That sounds so nice when you're cuddled up on the phone, rubbing your feet together. But in reality, like, is it actually possible? And I just realized, like, dang, like, am I ready? And so, yeah, I got another job to kind of help out with the things that I'm getting done. Now, how do I have time to get on a computer and talk to you guys? I have no idea. Is the episode going to be consistent after this one? I have no idea. It's just like, when you get me, you get me. I know, like, somebody's probably thinking, like, wow, I'm so happy she has an episode. And that is exactly what I'm going for. I'm not always there when you call. What? I'm always on time. What? I gave you my all. Just know that these every 6 months to a year episodes, I'm giving my all. So let's really talk about it. And you know, what more can you ask for? I gave it my all. So baby, be mine. Okay? So in my little podcast journey and experimentation, I came up with a little segment for us to chop up together. And that segment is going to be called Morph or Miss. So, Morph or Miss is where we decide if the latest thought, trend, or idea is helping us evolve or not. And so, we can hear an idea or a thought, and we could be like, is this morphing me into the person that I ought to be? Is this helping me? Or should I just miss that? Miss me with that, because it's not helping me align to what God has in store for me. So first on our Morph or Miss list is soft life versus hustle culture. Morph or Miss. So it's like, can you really live a soft life and still have a strong work ethic? Like, do both coexist? And let's see. Soft life, I'm going to have to say morph. Like, I feel like my best self is when I don't have anything to do, when I can just, like, la-di-da my day and, you know, get some Starbucks, go to Marshall's, go to Ross. There's a Ross in Brooklyn, y'all. A Ross in Brooklyn. Let's talk about it. Yeah. Did I go there? Yeah. Should I have went there? Still deciding. But soft life is for me. Like, I be the most creative when I don't got nothing to do, when I don't got to worry about nothing. I can stay up all night not worrying about what I got to do, get up in the morning and do. That's the best. I love the soft life. Now, when I am hustling, there definitely is a different type of product that I can produce when I'm in that hustle mode, when I'm in that grind mode. Like, I definitely produce some real good things, but if I had to choose, miss me with the hustle, morph me with the soft life. Like, hello, my dream is to work 3 days a week. Hello. So I'm gonna say soft life, you know. And I think what happens is because, like, there's a lot of talk around soft life, and there's yays and there's nays, right? And like some people think, like, oh, you're just being lazy or whatever. But I think that in the African American community, that we don't really know how to rest. Like, we don't realize how important rest is, and we don't realize that rest is part of our routine. When I say that, I'm saying, like, you can't be productive and successful without making rest a part of your routine. Rest is productive. But we've been so mind warped into the fact that, oh, if I lay down, I'm lazy. I don't know about you, but I had a Caribbean mother. And listen, the sun cannot meet you in your bed. You know, the worst feeling in the world is to have a hard week at school. You had a fight with the boyfriend that you're not supposed to have. You was up messaging people on AIM. Okay, showing my age. On AIM all night. You flipped your sidekick up 2 a.m. in the morning. You're talking to people. Oh, my kick people. We was doing all that to be awakened. It's like all of a sudden, I hear this. I hear this Barris Hammond song playing in the living room, and there is a lady that looks like I live with her. She comes into my space, my sacred space, and says to me, like, get up, you can't be lying down in the house all day. So what kind of thing is that? Hello, I'm resting, I'm tired. What kind of lazy thing is that? What when you get a family, how are you gonna? And I'm just like, one, who says I'm gonna have a family? Let's talk about it. Because I could be the rich auntie. That's where I'm at in life, and I'm gonna save that for another episode. But, two, if I'm tired, ought I not to rest? Like, what is going on? I need to rest. I am a woman of God. I'm a woman of the cloth. My creator, he rested on the seventh day. So, why is it that you are waking me up to Barris Hammond and Gregory Isaacs and Anita Baker and Sam Cooke to clean up your house? Because that's what you told me. You told me that. You said, this is my house. So I'm thinking, like, if you're going to clean your house, why do you need me? I'm just saying it. I'm just saying it. We all thought it, but nobody said it. But I'm going to say it. But yeah, it's just like, it's just like we're shamed into, like, not wanting the soft life. Low-key, I like to work. I just don't like to work when I have to work. And can I explain that? I like to work because I like what I do for a living. I love my job. I love what I do. But I don't like the fact that if I don't do it enough, I'm not gonna have a place to live. Something about that upsets my spirit. Like, what do you mean? I have to do this for 35 hours a week where I don't have nothing to eat when I go home. Like, who came up with this? Like, what? So, I mean, okay. Honestly, it's a morph for the soft life. It's a miss for the hustle. And it's no. It's no. It's no. It's no. It's absolutely not. Next topic, celibacy and dating, morph or miss. Like, why is that even on here? Did I create this? Like, this is not even a question. Absolutely. I feel like celibacy and dating should be, like, just a general all-around 100% yes morph. And I know I say this as a believer, as a Christian, or somebody who believes in the word of God, but, like, I honestly think everybody should be on the celibacy team because, you know, we really be wasting our time with these men sometime. And again, I'm saving this for another episode because I do have a lot to say about those men. But today's not the day. But I'm going to get back to y'all on that. So I'm going to just go ahead and say morph, because you're able to see someone more clarity. You have more clarity in the relationship, in the dating phase. It just makes sense. Also, you're not on a chariot on your way to hell. It just seems like a win-win to me. Yeah. Matcha tea for health gains, morph or miss. I'm going to have to say miss. I'm sorry. Miss me with the matcha and the little brush and the little bowl and the little stir. Miss me with it. It tastes like dirt. I said what I said. It's disgusting. And can we really talk about the fact that people who like matcha normally, usually, get it super sweet? When I say super sweet, it'd be a sugary green drink. It's like, I remember there was a point in time where aloe vera juice came out, and you would see everybody drinking like aloe vera juice. And I said to myself, I seen somebody drinking. I was like, ew. You're drinking aloe vera juice? That's terrible. That tastes disgusting. They were like, no, it tastes really good. I'm like, there's no way a slimy, nasty drink tastes really good. They're like, no, it tastes good. Taste it. They poured some out for me. Now, mind you, I wish I could show y'all a visual of how disgusted I was, how much I almost threw up even attempting to drink it, because I know what aloe vera is. Hello? Aloes? Eh? So I'm like holding my nose, pinching my nose, and making all kind of faces, and then I taste it. And guess what it was? Sugar water. Sugar water. That's what it was. And so, like, I get what y'all trying to do. I don't know the powers that be that decided matcha is it. I get it. It's supposed to be healthy. And it is. Because it's all it is crushed up green tea leaves. But guess what? It's not healthy the way you're having it, ma'am, sir. It's not doing anything except putting you on the fast track to an insulin pen. But I digress. I mean, miss me with it. It's okay. I love it for you guys. I wish y'all the best. But matcha, miss me. Okay, I'm going to do the last one because I don't want to take up the entire time with the segment. Okay, church hopping or testing out new churches. More for miss. It's a more for me. Like, are you kidding me? Go test out the church. Like, I'm sorry. It's a morph. Like, absolutely. Why would you not? I think, like, it makes so much sense to go see how people is. Like, I would even spend a couple weeks there, like, go in there a couple Sundays, go into, like, a church event that they have that's not, like, a service or a worship service. Because you just want to see who these people are, like, how they really be. Because, you know, not every time you go to a church, like, they are who they said they are. Like, so, yeah, go test it out. Test your options. It's not like you see, that's the thing. Like, we amalgamate God and the church building and the church structure and the, you know, the religiosity of it all. We amalgamate it all together. And they're very closely intertwined because of the way our inferior human brains conceptualize all of this. But you're not testing out God, you're testing out the church. Like, I already know me and God, we locked in, but I gotta figure out if me and God and you could lock in, because like committing to a membership is more than just saying I love God. It's like you're committing to the message and the vision that they have there going on too. So it's like a double whammy, and you want to make sure like what you're getting yourself into. And if you're wanting to have the heart after Christ and serve in ministry and stuff like that, you're going to be around these people considerable amount of time. So you kind of want to make sure like the vibe is all right. You kind of want to make sure that, you know, Deaconess Barbara is not, you know, I don't know, talking about you after church. Or little Tommy not going to take your $5. I mean, ain't no church going to be perfect, but, like, I'm all for testing out a church. Shoot, I'd be wanting to do stuff like that. And I think that's, like, so fun, too. Like, go test it out. See what it's like, you know? It's like, yeah, do that. We should talk about people testing out churches on social media. That I don't like too much. I seen a couple videos of like girls saying like, "Hey, come with me as I go to this church for the first time," and they post a worship service. And like, I'm watching the video, I'm enjoying it, whatever. We get to the end of the video. I give this experience like a 2 out of 10. I thought the sermon was dry and corny. I thought the worship was off key and tone deaf. Like, what? You'll sit here talking about an entire congregation like that? Like, did that need to be on display? I don't think so. And then, mind you, on top of that, you're possibly being a barrier to people that could have went there. Because, like, is serving God just about how the choir sounds? You know, or maybe, like, what you think is good is not what somebody else think is good. So, I would say more for testing out church. I would say, this wasn't even on the list, but hey, let's put it on the list. Miss for testing out churches on public platforms and social media. Like, we don't need to know. Even if you post your experience going, we don't need to know your debrief and your roundtable talk for how you felt after it. Yeah, it's giving a little mixy. It's giving a little shady. But that's just my personal feelings on it. Oh, thank you for listening to Bored for a Miss. I really hope that you enjoyed this segment and that we'll have more things that will draw your attention and make you enjoy the pod. So yeah, back to the hustling. The holy hustle. Like I said, I have 2 jobs. Now, if you've been listening from since I started recording pods, if you have not, go listen, go download, because why are you not listening? I'm on Apple Podcasts. Why are you not listening? I'm on Spotify. Why am I coughing? Man, God telling me to shut up. All right, I'm sorry. I'm just saying, like, I wanted y'all to listen to my stuff, but I guess it's not happening. The Lord really, like, put something in my throat because I feel like I'm about to die. I wasn't eating nothing. Nothing happened. Yeah. But, like, I have 2 jobs. My first daytime job is I work as a therapist. At the position I am now, I'm a child and parent psychotherapist, which has been very interesting and an awesome journey so far. I'm actually very much enjoying it, which I didn't think I would because I feel like could be a little awkward with children, but I'm enjoying it a lot. So my second job, I actually work for a warehouse, and I shall not name that warehouse, you know, just in the spirit of speaking those things as though they are. If I'm famous and you know where I work, you might show up asking for an autograph. I would say I need to protect my confidentiality. But yeah, I'm doing those things. And like sometimes I have a habit of falling into these patterns or routine where I can sort of get like fixated on my dreams and my goals. And I do remember a season specifically, I mean, I want to say like prior to pandemic, like maybe that 6 months before the pandemic hit into the pandemic, I was working so hard and praying was like not happening as much as it should have been happening. Like I was so focused on being successful. You know, I just was really in a place where, I don't know, I just wanted to be successful and I was hustling and it was so much happening and I was dating a lot and just like, I need all these things to happen, you know, I need to have a great job and I need to have a boyfriend so soon I'll have a husband. And I was hustling and I was, you know, even doing like, I was even hustling in church, like, you know, every church event, doing all kind of programs and stuff like that. And it was like I was hustling for God or for what I thought was God, but not with God. Like, he was not part of my plan. And I remember speaking a sermon where I spoke about, like, running parallel to God. It seems like a great idea. Like, it seems like it can almost be a false assurance. Like, yes, I'm exactly where I need to be because I'm parallel. But like, if you think about parallel lines never meet. And so it's like, yeah, God is in the vicinity, but we are not meeting. Like, we haven't, our thoughts, our plans haven't aligned. I haven't smashed into what it is that he had for me. And then I realized, okay, I don't want to run parallel to God. I want to run perpendicular, which means that I smash into him directly. And that moment, I guess I'll call it a cocoon moment, right? Because in order to morph into these beautiful butterflies, there's the cocoon phase where we figure things out. We have realizations. We have what Oprah would call the aha moment. And so my cocoon moment was realizing that productivity without the presence of God is just a performance. And it made sense why I was so tired. It made sense why I was so exhausted, but still did not feel filled, still did not feel satisfied. It's like eating food without the right nutrition. And so it's almost like you're eating all this stuff, but you still never feel satisfied. It's like when you bring God into the picture, when you bring him into your life and into your plans, it's like not just productivity, but it's also his presence that's making this and producing this beautiful feeling of fullness, of satisfaction, of joy, of peace. So I think that what I want us to like focus on for this pod and what would help us, I don't know, like break out of our cocoon of these things and spread our wings to fly is like, where in our lives do we need to trade in and have a handoff between God, between ourselves and God, trade in our hustle for a holy alignment for what it is that he wants for us. He wants us to be in alignment with him. Where do you see that that needs to happen? I need to trade in this hustle. Like, am I hustling the money, right? Am I hustling the money yet never have none, yet never feel like I can pay all my bills, yet never feel like I'm where I want to be successfully, have no savings, but I'm hustling, I'm skipping my morning meditation, I'm skipping my Bible study, I'm possibly skipping Sunday service, I'm possibly skipping giving back to my community, I'm possibly skipping praying. Because I am hustling. I'm waking up in the morning. I'm rushing to work. I'm rushing home. I'm rushing to get the kids. I'm rushing to do all these things and I'm hustling. But yet still I'm not aligned. And so I feel empty at the end of it. So like, what hustle is it that we're going to need to trade in? Like, are we hustling? We could possibly be hustling in our walk with Christ too, like wanting to do all the things that look right, but not actually living in day-to-day truth with who he is a real thing. You know, we, as a woman, we definitely be hustling the relationships, like having a husband. Am I hustling for these things and not aligning with what God wants me to have? Because hustle can look like fitting the bill on paper, but still having things that are qualified to fill the role, you know? And so that's important. Like, what is it that I need to trade in? So I think that is like a very, very important part. And I really want to leave us with like, God is not against you hustling. Like, he just wants your heart in it. And so like, when you move in obedience to who he is going to multiply your effort and expand your territory and reach. And so if I am able to do what God wants me to do and do it in holy alignment, my one step becomes 10. My 10 steps becomes 20. My $2, it operates in the realm of 200. Shabu. Iba. Hello. Like, real talk. Like, it's operating in this point where it's like, like, I have what they have, and they have what I have, but what I have is doing more, and it's doing so just because of my obedience. And it's so crazy. I just spoke about something like this. I was a guest speaker at a church pilgrimage. If you need a reminder, my religion is Spiritual Baptist, and that's a religion that's indigenous to the land of Trinidad and Tobago. You can look it up, or maybe I could talk about it more in other episodes, but that's just a little something for your head top. I spoke at a pilgrimage, and I spoke about maintaining the standard. And that was something that came up in the sermon, was like, we will be 10 times better than the world that we live in if we choose not to be of this world. And so it's important. Psalms 37 says to delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I mean, that's enough for me. That's enough for me. If that's the promise, I'm with it. And so like, we want to set goals, but we also want to set boundaries. I don't have to strive to survive because I am sustained by grace, right? And it's not saying that you don't strive, like you don't make an effort. I'm saying like you don't have to, and I should change the word. You don't have to strain to survive because you are sustained by grace. So like that's something, an affirmation that you can walk with and keep in yourself to say, well, okay, like, okay, God, what is it that you want from me? What is it that I can give you so that I can receive what it is that you have to me? Because you got too much in your hands, baby. You got too much in your hands. You need to give something up to him so that you can actually take what he wants you to have. So as you continue your week or head into your other week or your weekend or whatever, I don't know when you're listening to this, but I want you to remember this, is that you can be ambitious and anchored in Christ. And so your hustle can be holy, rooted in rest, purpose, and divine partnership with God. You don't have to prove anything to anyone. You don't have to prove anything to the world. You don't have to prove anything to your family. You don't have to prove anything to your friends. One person you do have to prove something to is that's your Lord and Savior. And matter of fact, he knows your heart. And so it's not about proving it to him, but it's about asking him, Lord, prove me, because I want to show you, okay? And move with purpose and in obedience. I want to thank you for joining me on this episode of Metamorphosis. If this blessed you, share it with a friend who's been hustling hard and might need a reminder that God has got them. Follow my show, leave a review, and I will see you next time. Until then, keep becoming, even in your in-between. Bye!